Theme, as you all know, remind me, dear Lord, what a great theme that is for any kind of a series. Remind me, dear Lord, and tonight I want to remind us about the importance of our worship to God. Now you say, well, we know about worship, and I know that you do. We know how it's done. I know that you know how it's done. But what I'm going to say in the next few minutes, hopefully, and Lord willing, you'll leave here tonight with a better appreciation of our worship to God. We come together every single week for the very purpose of worshiping our Father in heaven. And if you think about that, and you don't have to think very long, that is the greatest privilege that we have as a Christian. That we get to approach the very throne room of God and that we get to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And sometimes, I believe, in the Lord's church, we forget how special that time really is. That time of worship and that time of praise and that time of singing and that time of praying. And sometimes we need to be reminded that what we do in this place, what you do in this place, on Sunday morning and Sunday night and on Wednesday night, that it affects and it touches the very heart of Almighty God. That's special, isn't it? I mean, that's something to be here for. And because He has invited us to worship Him, we should not in any way take our worship lightly. Psalms 89 and verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. We need to understand that verse. Apply that verse. Psalms 29 and verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I love that. Psalms 100 and verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We get to come before the very presence of God when we sing to Him. At least our songs do. And we need to give our very best. And I think that's what can help us tonight. To make sure that when we come to this place, and it doesn't really matter when it is. Yes, there's a difference in Sunday worship. I agree with that. We can't take the Lord's Supper tonight, can we? There's a difference. But no matter when we come to this place, every time we assemble together, we need to understand the greatness and the importance of our worship to God. Tonight, I've got two points. And in those points, the first point, I want to give three reasons why we should worship God. And then on the second point, very quickly, I want to give you some practical suggestions to help us in our worship to God. Number one, why should God be worshipped? Well, the very first reason that God should be worshipped is because God deserves our worship. He deserves our worship. There is none greater than our God. God, we know, is almighty. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is all-present. Psalms 147, verse 4 and 5, He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. God, if you can imagine this, I can imagine this. God has the very hairs on your head numbered. For some that's difficult, for some that's not too hard. God, think about this. God knows your deepest thoughts. God knows your deepest fears. God knows every deed and every action that you have ever done. That's how great and how powerful He is. He deserves our worship. Acts 17, verse 28, one of my favorite verses, just because it talks about who God really is. For in Him we live and we move and we have our very being. If it were not for God Almighty, we would not be here tonight, any of us. The reason that we worship God is because God deserves. He deserves our worship. The word worship means to bow down, to prostrate oneself, to do obedience to something or someone. That's what worship is. Worship means to honor, to love, to devote oneself to something. We worship so many things in this world that do not deserve worship, don't we? So many things that we are worshiping, maybe not us in particular, but the world, that do not deserve to be worshiped. Some people worship money. You ever see anybody that worships money? Some people worship sporting events. I might step on toes, you know. Anybody go crazy about Auburn and Alabama? Yeah. Not around here, right? No. All y'all are Tennessee fans, right? Y'all won't ever have me back, will you? No. But think about the people, even in our state, and I think probably our state's one of the worst, that worship sporting events. Some people worship fame and fortune. Whatever it is, God is the only thing, the only entity that deserves our worship. And I'm telling you, God is a great God. And if you've heard people say, if you don't get anything else out of this, take that home, take that to the bank. The God that you worship is an awesome, a great God. Psalms 90 and verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth of the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We worship a God that created time and space, Genesis 1:1. We worship a God that created mankind from the dust of the ground and breathed the very breath of life into his body, Genesis 1:26 and 27. We worship a God that loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us, Romans 5 and verse 8, and of course John 3 and verse 16. No one or no thing is greater than the God that we serve and the God that we worship. Psalm 96 and verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. And so I worship and you worship, and let us never forget this, tonight, Sunday night, let us never forget, we worship because God, number one, deserves our worship. Now, I don't want to stop on this point just yet. I think some other things need to be said. Probably, and I'm sure not to this group, but I want to say it anyway. Not only does God deserve to be worshiped, but he deserves to be worshiped in the right way. In the right way. People say this, and I heard this on the radio some weeks ago, and you've heard this. Robert, you've heard this. Everybody, I worship how I want to worship, you worship how you want to worship, and we'll all be okay. Has anybody ever heard that statement? You do it the way you want to do it, and I'll interpret it the way I want to interpret it, and we're all going to heaven. We're traveling different roads. Anybody ever heard that? I don't know what road they're traveling, but I only read about one road, and that's the narrow road. Did you know, and I know you did, that there are over 300, now some people are up in the thousands, 300 denominations in the U.S. alone. You know what denominate means? To divide. At least three, and that's what they call it, 300 divisions of the Lord's church. Each teaching a different doctrine, each worshiping a different way. So here are some questions that I can ask you, and you, and in turn, you can go ask your family members, they're not members of the church, your co-workers, not members of the church. Does it matter how we worship God? Does it matter if we leave something out or add something to our worship that he has not authorized? Does it matter what we do in our worship? Now, people will say, it doesn't matter. But I don't care what people say. God says it does matter. You ask Nadab and Abihu if it matters, right? I'm going to offer strange fire. What's going to happen? God's going to kill you. Ask Moses if it matters. Striking the rock. Remember this? Ask Uzzah if going against what God says matters. He was studying the Ark of the Covenant. God said, do not touch the Ark of the Covenant. Uzzah was trying to be good. He was trying to do something good for the Lord. And what did the Lord do? Struck him dead. Why? He disobeyed. That's right. The whole lot of them were disobeying, but he disobeyed. You see, in the Lord's church, you know this, and I know this, we are accused of being judgmental. We are accused of being know-it-all. Well, you think you've got it all figured out. We are being accused of trying to tell others that they're just wrong. that we're the church police, that we tell others what to do, and that we're the only ones right. We're the only ones that are going to heaven. But when it comes to the matter of worshiping God, here's the question that everybody should be asking. Am I worshiping the way God wants me to worship? That's the question I need to ask, you need to ask, and every other church that's from here to wherever needs to ask, am I worshiping the way God wants me to? We should be worshiping the way God wants us to worship. Each church should be worshiping the way God wants them to worship. But you know, and I know that's not happening. And what a sad state, what a sad situation. The Bible tells us that there are two kinds of worship. It says there's acceptable worship and there's unacceptable worship. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees. You all remember this verse. These were the religious leaders in their day. And he said in verse 7, hypocrites, called them hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines the commandments of men. God deserves our worship, and he deserves it to be in the right way. I want to worship God in a way that's acceptable and pleasing to him. And I'm not going to trust my preacher. You don't trust your preacher, right? I mean, really, you trust him with some things, but don't just take Robert's word. Don't take his word. Take God's word. And if Robert's word lines up with God's word, then take that's great. That's what we want. That's what's wrong with the Lord's church. We've had good men where their word didn't line up with God's word, and we had people that sit out in the audience and wouldn't say anything. The hour is coming, and now is, Jesus said in John chapter 4, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and the truth. And the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is seeking. This verse tells me several things. It tells me that there's true worship, and it also tells me there's false worship. And it tells me God is seeking true worshipers. I want to be a true worshiper of God. I don't want to be a false worshiper. How do I know what true worship is? I have to go and find what God wants me to do right here. He tells me he's not going to leave us in the dark. We don't have a God like that. He tells us exactly how he wants to be worshipped and what we will do in worship and how we should conduct our worship. It's all found here in the New Testament. We just have to dig. We have to use muscle and a shovel. Anybody ever read that book? That book is all about, or at least the title, is all about digging, using your brain muscle and a shovel and picking out little nuggets of what God wants us to do. He deserves our worship. Now, not only does God deserve our worship, but this next one is it's really hard for me to understand. God desires my worship. He desires our worship. Worship is the highest honor that God has given his children. And I want you just to think as hard as you can about this, that God, Almighty, Creator of everything, Sustainer of life, Eternal, Alpha and the Omega, he wants my praise. Can you wrap your mind around that? That God wants my praise, little old me? He wants my praise? Does that not make you feel special? Does that not make you feel wanted and loved and feel good to know that the Creator of all things wants your praise? And to know that our Father in heaven, he desires that worship and it gives pleasure to him. Psalms 147 in verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Proverbs 15 and verse 8, the prayer of the upright is his delight. God desires our worship, and we also need to understand that God should be the aim of our worship. He's the aim of our worship. Those that worship him, John 4 and verse 24, right? God is the aim. So many churches, and I don't want to be bashing the other churches, but so many churches out there today think they are the aim of worship. That's what they think. I see people on TV. I watch some church stuff on TV every now and then until I have to change the channel. But I see these big mega churches on TV. You have people standing up and they're singing and they're clapping and they're putting on a show up on a stage. And when they get finished singing or they get finished preaching, what does the audience do? Boy, they just clap. They just, you know, think it's the greatest. Who are they clapping for? The participants up on stage. Some people leave and they say, I didn't get anything out of that worship. Maybe you've said that. I don't know. Some people walk out these doors. I didn't get anything out of that. Well, the very first question is, what did you put into it? That's the first question you have to ask. And then you have to understand that worship is not for my benefit. It's for God's pleasure. That's what it's for. It's for God. God is our audience. God is the one that we're praising. God is the one that we're singing to. Many people in our world, I know not here, but many people in the religious world come to church to be entertained. And churches, and you see them and I see them, are putting up family life centers and basketball courts and bounce houses and having rock bands. And they come to church because they want to have fun. I heard of one church that was called, one of their weeks is called Fun Sunday. I don't come to church to have fun. I come to church to worship my Heavenly Father. That's the reason I come to church. Not to get out on a bounce house or on a trampoline. I come to worship my Heavenly Father. And yes, what we should be happy. We should be joyous. We should have a smile when we come into the building, when we come into the house of the Lord. But we should do it with reverence and respect, decent and in order. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. God deserves our worship and He desires our worship. Now, very quickly, our third item under why should we worship? Because our worship should, and I'll say should, deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what worship should do for us. No, we're not the aim of worship. We're not the ones, we're the participants. And God should get the glory, but we all should be edified and we all should have a deep relationship with our Heavenly Father because we came to worship. There's a void, I believe, that needs to be filled in every human heart, in every human soul. And that void can only be filled with a relationship with God. And when we assemble with the saints, when we sing songs of praise, when we read His Word, and we remember His Son's death, and we give of our means, that void is being filled with happiness, with joy, with peace that the world can't understand. You see, we come to worship to have our spiritual batteries recharged, don't we? We live out in the world, you know this, you work with people that just use the ugliest language, don't you? We see things that are just horrible on the news. This is our place of refuge. this is our sanctuary, isn't it? This is our hiding place. And when we come here several times a week, it deepens our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we should have that desire to come and worship God because we need Him. We need Him in our lives. I remember several years ago, Rachel took a ladies' trip with some of the ladies at Hebron. And they went up to the Smoky Mountains for a weekend, I guess it was. And I had the kids. Kids were younger at this time. I had the kids all to myself at home. Which they're good kids, but you know how it is with a dad and two young kids. I mean, cooking and, you know, what's that other stuff? Cleaning. and, you know, doing stuff like that. Anyway, she called. And I said, you know, or she asked, she said, well, how's it going? She'd been gone probably a day. She said, how's it going? I said, Rachel, I got three words for you. I said, I need you. She probably thought I was going to say, I love you. I said, I need you. In saying I need you, what was I saying? I was saying I love you, right? When we come to worship on Sundays, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're telling God, I need you. That's what we're telling Him. I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to give me comfort. I need you to give me peace. I need you, Lord, to fill that void. I need your love and I need your guidance. And when we tell Him, I need you, we're also saying, I love you. Psalms 42 and verse 1, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul for you, O God. That's how we should feel about coming to worship. We have something so special here every week, and it's free. It's free. And we need to come and participate in that. God deserves our worship. He desires our worship, and our worship deepens our relationship with Him. Now, let's talk about some practical suggestions that can help you in your worship. I know some of you have been worshiping for years and years and years. You say, I've got it all figured out. I don't need any help. And maybe you don't, and that's great that you have it all figured out. But maybe some of you say, I just don't feel right when I come to worship. Here are some suggestions that will prepare you to come into the house of the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Number one, and these are very practical, these are very easy, go to bed early on Saturday night. Go to bed early. We want and need to be ready physically to worship our Father in heaven on Sunday morning, don't we? That means we don't stay out all night on Saturday night, stay up till all hours of the night working on something or out with friends. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't roll in at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning and think that we can get ready and our minds be focused and alert when we come to Sunday morning church. We need to go to bed early. That's what we've told our kids ever since they were. It's Saturday night, Lord's Day tomorrow. Lord's Day tomorrow. We got to go to bed. We got to get things ready. We don't need to be tired. Preachers do enough to put people asleep, don't we? We don't need people to be tired when they come in here to start with. I heard one preacher, he said a little old lady came to me right before I was about to get up in the pulpit, and she said, preacher, I want you to know I pray for you. Every time you get up in the pulpit, I say a prayer. He said, well, that is nice. He said, what are some things that you say? She said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Albert Lewis, you know Brother Albert over at Alder Springs. He tells a story, and I'm not doubting him at all. He said that he had a lady told him years ago when he still had the cassette tapes. She said, Brother Lewis, I love your sermons. He said, well, thank you. She said, every time I can't sleep at night, I put one of your tapes in, and boy, I'm just out like a light. We need to get things ready on Saturday night. Remember that this Saturday. Don't work yourself to death. Out on the farm or out in the yard, get ready for Sunday. Sunday's coming. I remember when I was a kid that I loved duck hunting. I still do. And my dad, I have a brother who's a couple years older than me, but every Friday night when I was growing up, I knew, I was anticipating, hey, Saturday morning's coming. We're going duck hunting. I've been waiting on it all week. And so my dad, I guess maybe because we were kids, I still do it to this day, he would say on Friday night, you make your pile. Any duck hunters here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You make you a pile out in the living room. And so when you stumble out of the bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't have to look for long johns and for coveralls. You just go right to your pile and you start putting clothes on. You're ready to go. You get prepared. Saturday night, we need to make a pile. We need to have our clothes ironed. We have our Bibles out. We need to be ready to come and worship. Number two, have your mind and your heart right before you get here. Now, that is a difficult thing to do, isn't it? But somehow, some way, have your heart and your mind right before you walk through those doors on Sunday morning. You say, how can I do that? Well, maybe plan on waking up early Sunday. Wake up 30 minutes early and have prayer time. I mean, will you sit by yourself? Have scripture reading. What we like to do is we have a couple of CDs, a cappella CDs, and we put them in the car radio, and we listen to that. Gets our minds focused. Be ready. Get your heart right before you get here. Number three, make it to Bible class. Some of the greatest teaching goes on in Bible class. Make it to Bible class. If you're missing Bible class, you're missing something that's great and wonderful. Please make it to Bible class. And then finally, be at worship. Just be here. It's a must. Listen to John 4 and verse 24 again. For God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Must. It's not an option. You have to be here. And I believe that that's a major problem in the brotherhood. You can look at anybody's bulletin, and I do this from time to time. You get online, you look at their numbers. They might have 300 on Sunday morning, have 150 Sunday night. They might have 75 on Sunday morning, they'll have 35 on Sunday night. You know what I call those people? They're 80-20. 80-20. That's what they are. They say, well, I go 80% of the time. I go 80% of the time. I'm faithful to the Lord 80% of the time. That means you're unfaithful 20% of the time, doesn't it? If your wife or your husband came in and said, well, you know what? I've got to tell you something. I'm faithful to you 80% of the time, but I'm unfaithful 20%. Would that work? Would you say, well, that's okay, or would you kick him out of the house? You'd say, that ain't going to work. I need 100%. Why do we think God's any different? We say, I'll be here 50% of the 50% of the time. God wants 100%. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we must do. Now, very quickly, once we're prepared, we get to participate. And this is, in my mind, this is the greatest part, is that we get to come and we get to participate in the worship of the Lord. And I know sometimes it feels like the preacher and maybe a few other men are the only ones that are participating, you know. But you have a part to play. You have to be here, number one. If you were not here, this wouldn't be a good night, would it? It wouldn't be a good night at all. You play an important part in the Lord's church here at Tanner. You have to be here. You have to sing. When the books are open, when the PowerPoint is on, you have to sing. If you were not singing, what would the singing sound like? Sound terrible. You have to participate in singing. You have to participate in prayer. No, you don't stand up maybe and say the prayer, but this person is called the prayer leader. He's leading the prayer. That means we're all following. And as he speaks, and I know this is hard to do sometimes, but as he speaks, our mind should be right in line with his mind. Even to the point of maybe we're saying the same words that he's saying, if that's the best way for you to do it. We have to listen to the preacher. I know that preachers are boring sometimes, right? Glad it's done, you know? I know, I understand that. But I don't care who's standing before you speaking. You can find something that they have told you that you can take home with you. Steal the word. That's right. They might not be the best. They might not be the most dynamic. But they're speaking the word of God. Then our giving. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Let's have our finances in order. Before we get here, let's don't dig in our pockets as the tray comes by. Let's have everything in order. And then, of course, partaking of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is really the main reason we come together on Sunday morning, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And our minds have to be focused in every act of worship. When y'all start at 10 o'clock, y'all start your worship service 10:30. At 10:30, you better, whatever is out there, you better make a switch. I'm going to turn it up. Whatever is on my mind, if it's not the Lord and His praise, I've got to turn it off. Turn it off. And especially when the Lord's Supper is passed to you. It's such a big deal, I guess is the best way for me to say. It's such a time that we have to really focus on what we're doing. God deserves, He desires our worship. And we need to be prepared, and when we come to this place, we need to participate. And I'm going to close with this. Years ago, a famous Dutch sculptor created a statue of Jesus, and you've probably seen this statue. He portrayed a huge statue, but he portrayed Jesus with his arms outstretched and his head is down like this. And you've seen this, the Mormon church, or the Mormons have adopted this as their sort of as their symbol. But when the sculptor of this statue showed it to his friends, the friend looked at it and he said, "Well, I can't see the face of Jesus. He's looking down, I can't see his face." Sculptor said, "If you want to see the face of Jesus, you must bow before Him on your knees." If we want to see Jesus, if we want to see Him plainly and clearly, we have to bow before our Heavenly Father when we come to worship. And when we do that, then you'll be able to see very clearly who God is, who Jesus is, what He's done for you, and how much He loves you. Thank you so much for your kind attention. I know